Yeah. 2 Timothy. We've spent a lot of time in verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of life. This is in italics. That I may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, strive is athleo, and it means to contend or to recognize that you're in a warfare. And he's not crowned. Crowned is Stephanos. And I want to look at something that's really, really important. So let's go to Revelation 6.
Just correct me how, if you're in war, it's life and death. It's not just a couple guys shooting each other, there's the death on the line.
We're looking at the word crown, or crowned. Chapter 6, verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, the four beasts are the four cardinal points of the compass. The 24 priests are the 24 courses of the priesthood that represent, the leader represents the entire course. And just a little bit earlier, it says that the four beasts and the 24 courses of the priesthood all bowed down. And it means that there was nothing left to do. Now, in the temple as it stood on earth, there were no seats in the temple because the work was never finished. It wasn't just the three pilgrimage feasts where these wild things took place. Are you here, Scott?
Very much so. I'm listening to what you're talking about.
Okay. The work was never done. Every day, the peace offerings, the various purification offerings were going on constantly. And the only time the offering stopped in the temple, just temporarily, was when the Megillah were read, the five books or scrolls, because they were considered to be so important that everyone had to hear them. And so while a temple was on earth, the work was never done. Now we're looking at the temple in eternity, the New Jerusalem, and the temple in the New Jerusalem, and the 24 elders and the four beasts all bowed down. Nothing left to do. It's totally and completely finished. Now, it's hard for us to conceive of that. We labor to enter into the rest. And that sounds like a contradiction in terms. We are in a warfare, and that sounds like there's much to do. But the only thing to do is for that seventh angel to stand within you and say, the mystery of God in you is completed. Time shall be no more. You give no more breath to time. You give no more breath to activity. It's a totally different environment. It's a totally different place. Because if you're giving importance or breath to what's going on in your life, then you have left the mercy seat and you are still dwelling upon the earth. And as long as you're dwelling upon the earth, you are deceived. He has deceived everyone that is dwelling upon the earth. It's the nature of the condition. It's not something that you can say, well, I've got to do this and that and this, but I'm not dwelling on the earth because I'm in eternity. No, that just makes your religion a philosophy. It has nothing to do with reality. Amen? Everybody understand? Except Scott's mad at me.
I'm thinking about the reality we're talking about looking at right now versus the reality of five senses and the whole shebang. And I'm thinking about the ultimate reality of the mercy seat versus what's around us, and et cetera.
Well, in one way, the dominionists are right, but they can't do it. The dominionists say that they have to rebuild the temple. They have to reinstate all of the courses of the priesthood. They have to find the ashes or the perfect heifer, then do the ashes of the red heifer, find the container it was in. They have to find the Ark of the Covenant. Otherwise, it'll just be another sham. That's why it was so vital when at the crucifixion of Christ, when the temple veil was rent from top to the bottom. That's impossible. Even if it was an earthquake that rent it, it would rent from the bottom up. The only way it could have been rent from the... And it was an 18-inch thick with heavy cords veil that protected the Holy of Holies. But it was rent from the top to the bottom. The only way that could have been done is by something from above, physically ripping it. And once it was ripped, they saw the sham. There was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no mercy seat. And in the Ark, there was no Aaron's rod. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no manna.
In fact, the Ark wasn't even there, right?
Right. But the point of it is, you see, it was shown to be a sham. And now they're trying to rebuild it to create another sham.
Sure.
So, chapter 6 anyway. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now the crown here, and a lot of people say this is Jesus, because he's on a white horse. He's got a crown. But the crown here is Stephanos. And it's the earthly crown that was given. You know, for but the now let's go to Revelation 19. And that just, remember we just, this is, back to 6 a minute. And then he saw another horse. First the white horse, then he saw another horse was red, and then he opened the third beast, and he said, and a black horse, and then finally the last horse. And you all know what that is, right? We've studied that enough. The white horse is your great idea, the Antichrist going forth conquering and to conquer. But he always brings forth death because he murders everybody that's in his way. He has a crown, but it's an earthly crown. He has a sword, but it's not the great sword that Christ carries. It's that hidden sword, the sword of the assassin. And so if anybody gets in your way, when you have an agenda, when you have a plan, you have a purpose, you're going forth conquering and to conquer, then you murder everybody that gets in your way. Did you see that? Anybody that challenges you, the secret knife of the assassin comes out, and internally you murder him because you want to withdraw from him. You want to get out of his way. That's why nothing in modern religion challenges anybody. They let you have all of your idolatry. You go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God. It's a religion of the enhancement of the of self-realization, how you can get. And it's another sham, because every one of these ideas you have going forth conquering and to conquer, first is the white horse, then comes the red horse, then comes the black horse, and then comes the pale horse. So let's go now, Revelation 19, see the other, the real crown. Well, we need to look at this one because it's kind of important. What we've just defeated in chapter 17 and 18 is Babylon. And his people have come out of her. They've come out of cause and effect. The religion of Babylon is cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. We are so ingrained with the graven images in the walls of our mind that everything in us tells us that cause and effect is the way it must be. But cause and effect only works in the limited parameters. In eternity, there's no cause and effect. You're on the mercy seat. You're at the first source of all things. So why would you return to the weak and beggarly elements and principles? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life, but they testify only of me, and you won't come to me. Some of you still believe in principles, still believe in cause and effect. You don't see that it's the greatest enemy there is of mercy and grace and faith. Because if you have a cause and you know how to effect it, if you have a purpose and you know what to do, then faith, there is no faith. And so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you're living in this lie. And many places teach how to do cause and effect better. Now, but in the name of God.
Think about cause and effect in this room. If you have something that you want to say, you say internally, if I say that, I'm going to expose my stupidness and I will be shamed. So I'll just keep quiet.
Amen.
Because you...
Have you ever done that?
Is that a shock? Seldom. I did it a little while ago, but I don't do it often. But it's fear of shame.
All right, chapter 19. So we've defeated Babylon. And go to, in 18:23, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and by thy sorceries all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now we've come, because no more, there's no more call of the bride in Babylon, because Babylon has been defeated. Nobody knows it. The life continues as it were. Everyone's running around saying, where is the evidence of his presence? I've got to depend on my own arm of understanding. I can't wait. What I've got is too important to wait. Just the lies of the mind that they never cease. And after these things, after Babylon in you was defeated, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And again now, here we have it again. The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat in the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now the crowns that he has here is diadem. The crown, the rightful crown of a ruler, not the one you get for winning something.
Or coming in first among many. That's sort of what that laurel wreath thing is. He's unique.
All right, back to 2 Timothy. How do we get off on all that? Not crown, that's how we did it. He is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. Lawfully is nomimos. It just means the way a thing, according to the rules of the game, if you will. Now, what are the rules of the game? What are the rules of the game in which we are, and the war in which we are? Simple. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. Anything that tells you anything different is a lie. Anything says that he has not come in the flesh is a lie. You go on and on. Everything is perfect. Is his sacrifice was infinite and eternal. But what happens? Because this evil one has set himself up in you, and you as the temple of God. What he's saying is there's always something left to do. There's always something left to understand. And there's always somebody who is my enemy. There's always something that I'm dealing with. As long as you think that, then you're not doing this. You're not striving lawfully, because you're striving against that which has already been defeated. The only enemy that is time and space is your mind. So the only lawful warfare is casting down imaginations and in bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So again, If any man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, this scripture is one of the least, it's the most quoted but least understood in the scriptures, I think. Because if everybody that ever has some preacher who's challenged, he quotes this. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So that means that justifies $1 million a year salary for Benny Hinn. Because he's first partaker of the fruit. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
He's taking a lot of fruit.
Well, let's look at how husbandman is used. First of all, it's georgos. It means a tiller of the ground, or mostly in all of Jesus' parables, it meant a vine dresser. So let's go to Matthew 21. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder. 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder. Now the householder is different than the husbandman. The householder is the owner. The husbandman. Anyway. Hear another parable. In this one, there was a certain householder who was planted a vineyard and had hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. Those that had preachers, if you will. Let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country, or a far place. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants, more or greater than the first. And they did unto him likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Now, keep your place there, and I want to show you. Go to John chapter 11. Now, real quickly, it's important to recognize that first of all, God dealt with the whole human race. And then he dealt with a particular tribe, a family. And the family represented the entire human race. It was in that family that the Jews were supposed to, evangelize the world. And so here's what happened. The husbandman that represented the human race was, in this case, the high priest. Now listen, John 11, start in verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this he spake not of or from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not only that nation, or not that nation only, but they should also, that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. So go back to Matthew 21, verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season. And Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of themselves, and they sought to lay hands on him. They feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Now, these are the wicked husbandmen, the human race, the preachers, they are the wicked husbandmen, because we all slew him. So he's given his to another race, a new thing. And that's why, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He has no history, he has no future. He is a new creature. His home is only on the mercy seat. He doesn't live in time and space. Time and space passes through him. Amen? We got some, we don't have, we're out of time, and Josanne is here, so. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Well, is the husbandman part, is that there because it's another example of what's, this is the you know, this like a soldier has to follow the rules or he doesn't get rewarded. The husbandman has to actually do what they're supposed to do.
Well, yeah, lawfully, but we'll see the next verse says that he first has to be a partaker or be, he has to be of, he has to, the word says put on. And we'll see that tomorrow.
You know, the husbandmen obviously thought they were doing the right thing, because they were living in another world.
And the Holy Spirit prompted him to say that.
Sure.
Yeah, just like the Holy Spirit hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yeah. Because, you know, we hear people say, well, they were punishing Egypt for making God's people build bricks without straw. No, that's not why. The scriptures are clear. The plagues came because the people of God had accepted the idolatry, the value systems of Egypt. They were all trying to get to the land of Goshen. They were all trying to enhance their own self, their own self-realization. So the plagues came to reveal to God's people. The plagues came and the plagues are coming and the plagues come because God's people have accepted the value systems of the world. Egypt is always a type of the world. And still today, you're doing the same thing. Now, the seven plagues in the book of Revelation and the seven vials and the seven everything are now to finalize that work which was typified in the plagues on Egypt. Amen? Kevin's always got something to say. He's doing this on his arm. Not anything? Everybody understand perfectly. Nobody has any questions. Nobody? What?
I said no pregundas.
I have a question.
Well, you have to move your hand from your mouth before anybody can hear it.
I haven't started speaking yet. There's a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale hell horse. And no green or blue.
Father, forgive him. He knoweth not what he saith. Take it, big guy.